Enter into the silence of the heart. With wordless love for the Supreme Beloved. Let the love bring you inward into the heart of God. Where the love is infinite. And filled with bliss. Merge the attention into this supreme love. Dissolve the I thought into its absolute presence. Feel the current of divine love become ever stronger. only the one self is real. Let all attachments to anything that is not the self fall away. And merge fully into the Supreme Reality of Sat Chit Ananda. be fully merged in the luminous energy of the blissful self until all sanskaras of separation have dissolved. Shiva. Parameshvaraya. Parabrahman. Parashakti. Shivaya. Shiva. Nama. Om. Shivoham. The pranava, the primal mantra, Om, has four syllables, of course. The A represents, of course, the consciousness that is the beginning. The U is the heart that is the middle. And then the the final satisfaction of the realization of the meaning of it all. The goodness, the beauty of it all in the midst of the darkness of its final moment, and then the dot of the absolute silence in which transcendence is achieved. So the entirety of time is present in the Om, and the entirety of the significance of immanence and transcendence integrated as a whole. And that absolute silence that is present before, during, and after every movement of the symphony of the unfoldment of time that the Om comprises is all to be present in one's mind as that sacred syllable is intoned. We'll continue with Sri Ramana. From Thus Spake Ramana, we're at number 77. What is meditation? It consists in expulsion of thoughts. Okay, punto. That's it. Expulsion of thoughts. That's all Ramana tells us about meditation here. But the question is, who expels thoughts? Because the ego is thought. Therefore, the ego can't expel itself. It can't stop its chattering. Because that's what it is. It doesn't have an off button. That's outside of the ego. So, thoughts, if they are going to be expelled, because thoughts are the obstacle to liberation, there must be a dispeller of the obstacle. Well, that's the Ganesha function. And we only can activate that function through love. So it is love for that being that initiates the spiritual process of ascension through pressing the off button that stops the mind. And instead, the heart is activated and one is filled with love. And when there is pure love, there is no thought. One wants to bathe in that love, to be baptized, saturated, dissolved in love. And that ends thought. So the love, however, doesn't come from the ego. It is the grace that comes as the response to the yearning for the love of the beloved. And that yearning itself contains the seed of love, which is all that the ego has, a yearning to get out of its suffering and out of its limitations and out of its karma. And that yearning contains what becomes the purity of love as the heart is opened with the response of Ganesha. Who is Ganesha? The son of Shiva. But the son and the father are one. And so in that realization, the Ganesha function is realized as oneself, so that oneself is in fact pulling oneself out by the bootstraps, out of the ego. But it was that aspect of the ego that was censored. It's within the soy burger, but it is buried under the censor. Now, when Ramana says meditation is expulsion of thoughts, we have to be very clear what thoughts they are. They're not the conscious thoughts of the actual chattering mind. That can be stopped, at least temporarily. What can't be stopped are the implicit thoughts of the superego. Now, as we know, the superego is split into the moralistic superego and the demonic superego. It's not an angelic superego, but it's a moralistic one. And it creates shame. And the demonic superego creates the impulse to have thoughts about which one feels guilty for having during a meditation, especially, but even at any time, and actions and unworthy karma. And then the moralistic superego transforms the guilt into shame, and then the ego mind falls into chatter to avoid an unbearable emotional attack. So this is what the research in Atmanology has shown as the real obstacle. Not the chattering mind. That's a byproduct that is actually a defense against the ISS, that internalized shame signifier that gets triggered when one begins to ascend beyond the ego. And therefore, there has to be a surrender to that power that is beyond the jurisdiction of the shaming superego, that cannot then cause an internal collapse that brings one into a lower state of censoring of one's own spiritual reality. So, Ramana says, meditation is expulsion of thoughts. All the present troubles are due to thoughts and are themselves thoughts. So, you have trouble in your life that's caused by thought, but your thought about it is the real trouble. You ruminate on the trouble and you create more trouble for yourself. So what is a minor glitch becomes a mountain of a self-attacking, horrifying self-images and awfulizing of consequences that probably will not happen except through a self-fulfilling prophecy, which thoughts do have the power to bring about. So therefore, Ramana says, give up thoughts. That is happiness. And that is also meditation. It's that simple. But you have to give up the superego, because it's its thoughts that you don't identify with, but you hear or feel. And sometimes you don't even know what the superego thoughts are. You only know the pang of the feeling of judgment or failure or inadequacy or some other negative emotion that the superego can trigger. So Ramana says, when you give up thoughts, that is happiness, and that is real meditation. The thoughts are for the thinker. Okay? The thinker is the ego, which itself is the thoughts. It's the self-thinking thoughts. But if you remain as the self of the thinker, the witness to whom the thoughts do not pertain, then there is an end of thoughts. To go to the next teaching. To see wrong in another is one's own wrong. This is probably the core teaching of every spiritual tradition. If you do have judgment for the other, it's the superego's self-judgment that it's projecting outward in order to avoid those unbearable feelings and to point to someone else as deserving to feel all of that negativity. But if you see wrong in another, it's your own wrong. And you have to take it back in. And only by taking it back in, however, and realizing that it belongs to a delusional ego complex, and then surrender that whole complex to God, can the misery of both the self-attack and the projection of judgmental attack upon another, which creates karmic backlash and more suffering, be eliminated. The discrimination, Ramana says, between right and wrong is the origin of the sin, right? This is what the Bible says also. You eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, right and wrong, and then you're out of the garden. It's over. So judgment, whether self-judgment or judgment of the other that the superego imposes, is the original sin. One's own sin is reflected outside, and the individual in ignorance superimposes it on another. So the best course, Ramana says, is to reach the state in which such discriminations, he's calling them, really judgmental projections, do not arise. Do you see right or wrong when you're sleeping? But you existed in your sleep, did you not? So be asleep even in the wakeful state. Abide as the self and remain uncontaminated by what goes on around. Really uncontaminated by your projections on what is going on around. Your silence, and of course this is the inner silence of the superego as well as the ego, your silence will have more effect than words or deeds. That is the development of willpower. You see, it's not the ego's willpower. It's when the ego has been sacrificed through one's surrender to God, that willpower comes, but it's the will of God. It's not the will of the ego. And the will of God is grace. So that is the development of willpower, and then, says Ramana, the world becomes the kingdom of heaven, which is within you. And that will be projected out and become reality. And that's how Satyuga is created. May you be graced with the peace of the opening of Chit, the infinite intelligence of God, the Ah that initiates transcendence and new creation. And may you be blessed with the ooh of the heart opening to infinite love and bliss, the ananda of the heart of Shiva. And may you have the sat mind, the power of being, that recognizes and becomes the kingdom of heaven through the power of dreaming the absolute beauty of God's essence manifest as infinite multiplicity of forms of nature that produce ecosystemic harmony, goodness, purity, love, and the dance of creation in all of its glory, resulting from your own completion of the work of Om.